All right, welcome everyone. We are going to call this meeting to order. This is the meeting of the Board of Directors for Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. It is October 25th, 4 p.m., and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2, roll call of the Board of Directors.
Director Trevino.
Present.
Director Chavez.
Present.
Director Garcia. Vice President Fellow. President Santana.
Present. We have a quorum with four directors present. Next on the agenda is item 3, adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion and a second? So moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Passes on a 4-0. Item 4, public comment. Do we have any public comments?
Good afternoon, Madam President. We have not received any written public comments. However, if anyone wishes to do so, they can do so at the podium.
All right. Seeing none, thank you. We will move on to committee reports. At this time, we don't have any committee reports in our agenda. Item 6, consent calendar. A motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Passes on a 4-0. Next item is item 7. We have recycled water 101, and I will let Dom do the introduction.
Yeah, thank you, President Santana. So I want to introduce John Robinson. John, I think I met John. He was still in high school, almost. John's been involved in recycled water here in Southern California for a very long time. He originally worked for HYA, Mike Hoover. Some of you board members will remember Mike, providing program management services for West Basin, Central Basin, and Upper District's early recycled water planning processes. And John's continued a role in those projects since then. Spent a lot of time recently with Central Basin, working with them. But as we look at our recycled water system here at Upper District, it's been built kind of in pieces over the years. And I realized that we've gone through a number of general managers and staff here at Upper District in that time frame. And I recognize that John probably has the most institutional knowledge about our system as anyone. So recently I brought John. John has been under contract doing certain things, but I brought him some new task orders to help us, you know, organize our information on the system. And I thought it'd be a good idea and an education for all of us, and me included, if John were to give us an overview of Upper District's recycled water system. So with that, John.
Thanks, Tom. All right, so thank you for the introduction. Yes, I've been in the industry 30 years. Currently, I serve as the engineering manager of operations for Central Basin Municipal Water District as well. I wear a couple of hats. I have my own engineering firm and worked for a number of firms, but you've always been my client. So since June 2nd, 1993, you're my second client I met. First client was West Basin, where Mr. Atwater and Virginia Grebian scared the tar out of me, but that's another story. So you've got quite a few slides. I'm going to walk through them all. Feel free to interrupt. Stop me. I'll answer any questions you might have. I actually had a lot of fun preparing it, and I'll try to speak to it. Or is it on? It is on. It's glowing. It's on.
Done.
Okay. I had some fun grabbing some of the pictures because I saw a lot of former board members that aren't here. Some of them aren't here anymore. But with that, I'll go ahead and get going, see if I can do this correctly. All right. So typical engineer, I have to have an agenda. So these are all your projects. I'm going to talk a little bit about the development drivers and then all the projects all the way from Rose Hills, your first project. Technically, the groundwater recharge project technically was your first project, and we'll go through it. We're going to walk you through what the project's about, customers, flow, and funding, which is always a key item. Current mission and vision statement, those are the new ones right now. Evelyn corrected me. I had your old mission statement from 2012 on it when I first did this a couple days ago. But the vision and mission of Upper District hasn't changed since we started this process in 30 years ago. Still supporting high quality water within San Gabriel Valley, and your mission's always to look at other options for the community. And your population has grown over those years. Vaguely, the pie chart will tell you it's pretty accurate. Groundwater supply, about 66%, imported 22%. Recycled water, it varies year to year, 2 to 3%, and then conservation. Those numbers are plus or minus as it goes through. And then the report from Stetson always is the driver. Fun thing, the initial record low was 2009. That was actually a driver of a lot of the projects. And then recently we hit in 2019 the second low, and that's the continuation of that drought and the Baldwin operable unit and low groundwater demands. So recycled water is a key component of that. Going to go through these projects for you. First project is Rose Hill. Well, this is the overall. So $52 million plus or minus that you've spent on recycled water, not you physically spent, but between grants, loans, and Upper District's funds. Distribution's about 2,800 acre feet. The funding sources, and this is my key thing that always happen, is I'm always bringing recycled water funding with projects, and those are our general three. Metropolitan Water District locally, State Water Resources Control Board, that's changed a little bit. We've also get water from Department of Water Resources. And then the Bureau of Reclamation is one of your key. Title 16 funds, Upper District was the third entity in the West to get Title 16 funds to drive the original groundwater project. So the map itself is to give you a rough idea of your three systems. On the lower end is the Rose Hill Cemetery mortuary area. That's your phase one project on the lower left-hand corner. On the purely on your left are two different projects, Whittier and the Rosemead Extension. And then the longer one is the West Covina phase one and phase two. What this map doesn't show is a third and fourth project for that we've been actually installed for Prop 84 monies. And I have a different map for that. So this is the Rose Hills project, pipeline designed by San Gabriel Valley Water Company. Right now it was meant to take Rose Hills completely from just groundwater pumping to 100% recycled water. As of today, they are 100% recycled water. Recycled water is not a standalone item. You have to combine it with other opportunities. And what we did there was we had Rose Hills stop pumping groundwater and lease their groundwater as a commodity. We brought recycled water in, more expensive than the groundwater, but the right thing for them to do as a company. Now, Rose Hills is now a large company. They're part of SCI. They're one of 300 cemeteries traded on the NASDAQ. This is their crown jewel of SCIs. Eventually, it will be about 1,200 acres. Right now, it's about 900 acres.
What is an SCI?
Sorry, SCI is the company that actually owns Rose Hills. So that's their ticker name on the NASDAQ. We picked up a couple other small customers on this pipeline as well as elementary school, Rio Hondo College. We don't serve the entire Rio Hondo College. We serve the football field, track and field, and the baseball field. So what I would consider lower campus. And then the Gateway Point, we used to call it the Strawberry Fields because that's all it was. And now it's just it's concrete tilt-up buildings and feeding landscaping. Fun thing about Rose Hills, we started in 2003. That slide says we're done in 2007. We actually continued. That was just to get the first phase of it, which was about 660 acre feet, about 2 miles of pipeline. As I said, that was designed by San Gabriel. The water is coming from a treatment plant called San Jose Creek Water Reclamation Facility. It's a 80 million gallon per day treatment plant. But currently, as of today, it's seeing flows closer to the 1962. That's how low wastewater flows have gone due to conservation purposes. So the plant itself is only pushing out about 36 million gallons a day, but it's designed for 80. And you have an agreement for a certain amount allocation of that flow out of that treatment plant. As I said, some highlights of customers, Rose Hill Cemetery on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side is the college, and then Mill Elementary School is feeding the field. So far, water quality is great. This project is actually in agreement with Central Basin Municipal Water District. You wield water from one wholesaler, Central, into Upper District service area via a meter. And then we're actually sharing, we being Central Basin, sharing in some of those costs, and then Upper District sells it to San Gabriel Valley Water Company as a retailer. Funding-wise, the original project was $4.5 million. You actually received $1.1 from Bureau of Reclamation. You ended up using about $3.4 million via your reserve. You're actually still paying that off right now, but no, you have no loans on this. That came straight from capital, and this was your first project. Local funds weren't available at the time for Metropolitan, and the decision at the time was not to go after state funds. So, as I mentioned, it's a partnership between Central Basin and actually LA County Sand, because you actually have an agreement for that water. Funding from Bureau of Reclamation, Title 16. Rose Hills, fun fact, largest cemetery in the world, continuous, bigger than Arlington, any of the military cemeteries, anything in France. The customer itself, Rose Hills, is actually it's a huge advocate of recycled water, always has been. One of the fun things is that last bullet, AB 803. It's legislation that Upper District sponsored back in the day. So back in the day, in 2005, you could not put recycled water in hose bibs. Because if anybody's visited a cemetery, you have hose bibs for filling up of urns. Well, the health department said, no, can't do that. Really decreased how much we could do. We sponsored 803, got it approved. And due to that, actually, now it's across the U.S., you're allowed to put disinfected Tile 22 into hose bibs at cemeteries. And then it allowed us to do more conversions at Rose Hills. Whittier Narrow, kind of a fun project, completely different treatment plant on the other side of the 605 and the freeway. The goal of this one was to hook up the Whittier Narrows recreation area, largest irrigated park in Los Angeles County. Bigger than Griffith Park, because Griffith isn't irrigated like this is. But large pipeline, and it's coming off a small satellite plant called Whittier Narrows Water Reclamation Plant. That actually takes water off of a pipeline that goes all the way down to Person for treatment before discharge into the ocean. We did most of the construction through the park itself with 100% anticipation of expansion. So started in 2004, right after Rose Hills, before they were done, about 3.2 miles of piping. Fun fact on the piping. So Whittier Narrows is a natural occurring. So we actually worked with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and we actually had, and I can't remember the tribe, they actually were on the construction excavator the entire time because of the natural spring waters in the area. The initial demand was 890 acre feet. That's grown a little bit. Once again, this is in the San Gabriel Valley Water Company area, different treatment plant, Whittier Narrows. Once again, you do have an agreement for the water out of Whittier Narrows. Some pictures of the site. On the left are the park, and the right is the park, and then the high school. First high school to be converted to recycled water in your service area at that time. Project 9.9, because we had to put that pump station you see in your picture at the plant for you. This time we actually got both Tile 16 and State Water Resources Control Board grant, not loan. And then we did use reserves. Ken Manning, we actually named that pump station after his father. So it was nice to have him at the dedication and so forth. And his mom, actually. So that was a fun fact. Success factors, once again, it's a partnership with LA County Sand with your agreement. Parks and Recs was a huge thing. What came out of this, turns out the parks, LA County Department Parks and Recs were not leasing their groundwater, and they didn't know it for 34 years. Because of this project, they realized they had lost out of $34 million of leasing of the groundwater. They haven't made that mistake moving forward. So it was a real benefit for them. I have US EPA up on this site because this is right next to the Whittier Narrows operable unit. And so the US EPA from that project was dumping their water into the lake, and we were using it for irrigation purposes. As I mentioned, largest irrigated park, and we eliminated groundwater pumping again. Here's the expansion. So you can see the Whittier Narrows in the green right below it, and then this is called the Rosemead expansion. So it was going north, hitting Garvey, and heading to the west, and then back down. These are all your very traditional irrigation customers. So we started this right after we finished phase 2A, Whittier Narrows. We didn't have enough, another 2.5 miles of pipe, but this was all in street, not in landscaping. We had roughly about 720 acre feet planned, and our final was about just over 1,000. St. Gabriel is the purveyor again, and Whittier Narrows is the same treatment plant. One of the big things here is the number of customers. That's actually two slides. More schools, parks. We actually hooked up Southern California Edison's headquarters, which is that Edison Capitol building, and the first Walmart to ever have recycled water in the nursery for their plants in the U.S., so that, once again, it's another first. Lots more schools. We picked up a college, another college, University of the West. We picked up the second corporate office, Panda Inn. So, and they're still connected. And then the big thing, one of the big driving forces of this project that made it a benefit was the Whittier Narrows golf course. Money is always a key thing. Capital cost, about $6.1 million on this one because we did not have to do a pump station. Same pump station that supplies Whittier supplies this. We did a bunch of different grants, Tile 16, two different buckets. Metropolitan Water District just started their grant program again. And then we got some ARRA funds as well. So you're noticing the decrease of your capital expenditures by putting more towards the grants. And State Water Resources Control Board wasn't available at that time. Success factors, city. Rosemead was super to work with. The school districts were. Mentioned two corporate headquarters. Walmart, oddly enough, was really easy to work with. I was actually quite surprised by that. Lots of outside funding. Common theme, also decreasing in groundwater pumping. So that takes us from Whittier. Now we're going to hit 2B. Now, you have to excuse the naming of this because this is a dumb engineer naming all this. So these are my names. So I apologize ahead of time. So phase 2B is what I call the West Covina project. This is to give you up on the screen an idea of what the future expansion is. The reservoir is in, the green line, package 2 is in, but package 3 and package 4 never got built. You have plans for them, but never got built. So this pipeline, similar to other ones, it was actually to serve BKK landfill, all the landscaping along the landfill. But the big thing is storage. And this is something that Upper District led the charge on, I think, was to prove that you need storage on a recycled water system. And you did it, and it's actually been very beneficial to you. So we started this right when we were finishing Rosemead as far as planning, another 4.1 miles plus a reservoir. This one's actually in suburban water system service area, and they operate your system. The ultimate demand is 700 acre feet. We haven't quite got there, so you're in the 320, 350 range. Some of the landfill, or some of the pictures of customers are up on the screen. Most of the shopping center, Big League Dreams. This is the first Big League Dreams on recycled water. The second one was down 71 for Inland Empire Utilities Agency. And BKK landfill. They couldn't use their water coming out of the landfill, so they used our recycled water, so it worked out perfect for them, perfect timing. A couple pictures of construction, reservoir before and after. The reservoir itself does have a drinking water backup, so if anything goes wrong with the plant, you can still serve water to the customers. Pipeline, it's not fun, but purple pipe, I figured it's a good picture. And then the second piece of the West Covina job was phase 2B, and that this was really driving it to get to the golf course because that was going to help you economically. $15 million to do it. Same buckets of money from the feds, Title 16 and ARRA. But what we ended up doing, we actually ended up getting a grant and a loan to do this. Now, the grant worked out super, and we used as much as the loan as we could. One of the driving forces there was zero interest. So you'll notice that no capital funds coming from Upper District, they're all via the loan with zero interest. It's not low. It's not zero interest anymore, but it was at the time. So the same green line that you saw previously, it's to drive this pipeline to the country club and pick up customers along the way. That's pretty traditional with recycled water. Find the big customer and drive the pipeline to it and pick up other customers. Couldn't get to my wife's elementary school, but we got close, so it's a great area. The fun thing about this is we started and got it done very quickly. So in basically a year, we built everything, and we were building in rain as well, oddly enough. The what you see on the picture, that was the pump station actually for the golf course. The golf course couldn't use their existing system because we didn't want to lose pressure, so it was a plug-and-play pipe into that pump station, then out into the golf course. We had to do quite a bit of work in the golf course itself, hence those are the pictures you see up on your screen. Green belts, the country club, and then we picked up the middle school and the elementary school as well on the way. Funding for this package was pretty good. We didn't have a reservoir to build this time, so $4.1 million, exact same funding that we used last time we used for this project. No out-of-pocket, only for paying back the loan at $1.69 million. And we used, this is how I'd like all my recycled water projects, using local, state, and federal all at the same time. This is something I just added a couple of days ago. It's ongoing. It's been ongoing since 2015, and it's just wrapped up. So I'm amazed. It took 8 years. So I was working on a Prop 84 grant for Rose Hills as a client, but it turns out that Upper District wanted to get these projects going for San Gabriel and La Puente. So what we ended up doing was partnering. And the partnering was perfect. Rose Hills had all the flow, but these other two projects needed to happen, so we just combined everything. So it worked out super. Upper District took the lead of the application. The demand was 730. We're using every drop of it as we speak, and we added two pipeline systems. On the left, what is one of the customers we hooked up within the South El Monte area. Pipeline, the picture in the middle is Rose Hill Cemetery next to one of their chapels, and on the right is the museum over in City of Industry, the Homestead Museum. With these, this project, you ended up picking up 24 customers. 23, and Rose Hills was an expansion. A lot of customers, not tons of flow, but a lot of fun to get these communities done. What you see on your left is the green we talked about, the purple on the left we've talked about, and we added on the right the brown, which is called the South El Monte package. Now, San Gabriel Valley Water Company has plans to expand that in the future if they like, but we haven't done that yet. And then on the right-hand side is Roy's system for La Puente. And that's picking up the 10 customers, all in the City of Industry. There, it feeds the museum, and the rest of it's all businesses, all strip irrigation around the businesses. Money-wise, it worked out well. $4 million capital, and then the Prop 84 grant supplied 2.16. The rest of it was supplied by those three customers, not Upper District. But you allowed them to get the Prop 84 by taking the lead as the wholesaler. Okay, groundwater recharge history. This is where I first met you. I'll call it the Midland Brewery Project. There's a lot of other terms to call it. Steve knows what they are. I'm going to leave them alone. So as you see, you've actually progressed with your groundwater recharge, but it's morphed and hybrided itself all through the process. I wish we had built the Midland Brewery Project, because the cost to do that was $18 million. I looked up the original idea. Now it's going to cost $62 million to move the same amount of water. Then, and this is, I cannot take credit for the second one, the demonstration project was the brainchild of Stetson Engineering, was the hybrid, the Miller project, and we had a little bit of a delay. We just couldn't get it off the ground. The San Gabriel Basin Advanced Water Treatment Project, it's a mouthful, but basically it was to put a recycled water treatment plant, polishing plant at San Jose Creek and move the water north. Same pipeline. That morphed into Water Replenishment District wanted to partner with Upper District, along with San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, and that was the GRIP project. Now the GRIP is now called ARC, and it's a different project. You were going to go north with your project, and WRD was going to go south with their project. That didn't happen. And then the district moved from that point to this indirect reuse replenishment project. Once again, very similar to the San Gabriel Basin project, advanced treatment moving it north. But then Metropolitan started talking to you about Pure Water, Southern California, which is the last project. So the idea there is you utilize a pipeline that you paid for and designed by Boyle Engineering to from San Jose up to the dam, and they could reutilize that idea. And so that's actually ongoing all the way coming from Carson. I figured you know about that, so I didn't throw a picture in there. This is just a summary slide to talk about, and funding's important because of the expenses and so forth. That's your summary slide for all the different projects. I wanted you to have it so you could refer back to it if you needed to at a later date. Lessons learned, phasing approach. Tom talked about it. It's not a gunshot idea. It was very planned, but we wanted to touch all your different areas where it made sense. We actually had to do sound financial plans. We did this. I worked with five general managers to get this done. Started with Bob Berlin back in the day and so forth. Mr. Yoakum was part of this, a big part of it. A lot of diverse funding sources. You have to keep your eye and ears out there. Stakeholder coordination. You're working with your local retailers is key, Suburban, San Gabriel. Relationships with other agencies. If you didn't have a positive relationship with Central Basin at the day, you would never have been able to do Rose Hills Project. And then your customers have been great so far. Very responsive. Just some acknowledgments. It takes a village. So these are the agencies, and not all of them, that played a big part of this project. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Director Chavez.
Yes, thank you. And John, welcome back. You never left, but it's good to see you. So thank you for all your work. I think the Upper District has done a tremendous job with these projects with you in partnership, as well as with Mr. Johnson here too, putting it all together. But the question is, on some of these recycle water projects, what criteria do you look at to develop such a project? Because you're always looking for mass land, mm-hmm. golf courses, parks, big schools.
Right.
And we're pretty much built out, so there's not much left. Although I had a question of the California Country Club in Whittier. But what's the criteria to make it feasible, a project? Because it has to be a big project because it costs so much money.
Right.
To deliver this water, and if you're just going to water a couple of plants, it's not going to work out.
This is true, and recycled water projects have never been very cost effective. It's part of your portfolio. Mm-hmm. It's like ocean desal. It's not cheap to do ocean desal, but it's part of your portfolio for your customers to have it in your playbook. So to answer your question directly, you don't have a lot of big customers. We use big customers on a irrigation project to pay for most of the little ones that we're picking up. I've changed my tone over the last 30 years. I've done 400 miles of purple pipe design. If I could get wet water, recycled water on the ground and recharge groundwater, I'd do that in a minute. Because you get the most bang for your buck. If you can get wet, recycled water, it helps the entire community, not just a school, a park, a median, and so forth. So with your service area, with the Pure Water Southern California coming, I think getting that water onto the ground, supplying the groundwater basin is the key thing for this district. But at the same time, budding up and looking at other smaller projects, and if you can do that, they're never going to be very cost effective. But the rule we've always used is a 10-year payback. I look at the economics, look at the demand, look at the costs, and if it's less than 10 years to pay that back, I move forward. Lately, with the way it's been, some of the projects I've been doing lately, it's more like a 20-year payback just with construction costs the way they are right now. But that was our rule, and it has been for the last 30 years for Upper District.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Can I just say thank you. It's great to see you. I began with you.
Yes, and, great to see you, Dr. Fellows.
You've done a great job all these years, and it's great that you put this together.
Right. It was fun. I found a couple pictures of Frank with when we were doing the golf course. Everybody had drivers in their hand, all in a circle. It's like, oh, yeah. So, no, it was super. I really appreciate presenting this. It's less of an education. It was more of these are your projects. And I had the pleasure of planning, designing, construction management, the whole thing for you. So this has been great. But it's always the big thing. It's a village. It's the only way to do this.
Right. Well, you guys worked well with Boyle Engineering.
We did. Really? Yeah, it was a little rough there at the beginning, but yes, we did that. That was HYA. So, and I've worked multiple firms, and so it's allowed us to see how other people do things and bring it to Upper District. As I mentioned, West Basin in the beginning, I've used other agencies and brought that here. So,
thank you.
Just one comment. Good job, John.
Thank you, Steve.
It was a good history lesson.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all happened, and we're all here, but it's good to see it all up there. So it was a good history lesson. Can you go back to the one that described the prize about four back, the different projects? Because I want to help for the board. The indirect reuse replenishment project, which you mentioned, one of the things the board should know, because some of the newer board members may not know this, is that, which Shane was there at the time, but that project was taken right to the permitting phase. To permit it to bring the pipeline up and bring tertiary water to Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. And what happened was the water district had a contract with the sanitation district for a short amount of water. But as we got toward the end of the project and getting ready to permit it, the sanitation district threw up a red flag and basically said, I hate to tell you folks, but we're out of water. All of our water has been accounted for. All of our water has been sold. And your general manager at the time, Shane, was pretty upset about that. I mean, he set up some meetings with the general manager on there, had legal counsel look at it about litigation. It was a pretty serious issue. And at one point, he had sort of a revelation. He said, I'm not quite sure why I'm so mad about this. Our whole goal was full use of recycled water, and that's been accomplished. So the whole big goal of this has been done. So even though our project got kind of stranded, a lot of that information will be used for pure water.
Yeah, right.
But that's
you're,
the fact that the recycled water use has been maximized is pretty impressive.
You're absolutely, yeah, because to Steve's point, what they realized, a gentleman called Mike Sullivan at LA County Sand, they actually had 12 contracts for the water at San Jose Creek. There's really only five. You're one of the five. But they had overprescribed everything, and so that's why they had to do the pullback. And Steve's absolutely right. The designer of the indirect potable project, that design helped design the pilot down in Carson, the MET pilot, the 1MGD pilot.
Well, to add on to that, so it is successful in that they're using all the recycled water. But the other thing is that San Jose Creek, the flows since the year 2000 to today have gone down 40%. There's 40% less water going into the plant. And why is that? And frankly, the former general manager of the sanitation district, he says it's your own fault. Your conservation programs are so effective at reducing indoor water use, nobody's flushing their toilet anymore. So that's also a success story. Even though we lost an opportunity, I think as a region we've been successful. I think Director Trevino had a question.
Yes.
Yeah. John, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for us here at Upper District and also at Central Basin when I first met you. And you must have found the fountain of youth, man, because you look the same as back in the 90s when I first met you. But This really puts everything and encapsulates everything that we've done, and I really appreciate this because it really is very helpful to refer to this and what we've done and some of our success that we've accomplished, and this is really good. So I want to again thank you, and it's good to see you, brother.
Good to see you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a pleasure putting it together. I think it's a good resource. And as it's been alluded to, I think you have possibilities for expansion possibilities as well if you're so inclined just to keep the process moving. So yeah, you still have capacity.
Jennifer? That's the question I was going to ask you, what you would recommend that we do, and I'm sure you're talking to Tom about that. I also wanted to ask you something, and Tom, you can shut me up if I shouldn't ask this, because I've been talking to Adele at MWD, and he's the one that first started talking about this, whether every district, and this pure water project, whether every district, like Upper, really needs pure water. Like, do we want raw water and let it percolate like our first projects?
Right.
And it would be a faster project. And Adele's talked about maybe we should have these little recycling units along the pipeline instead of bringing it way up to Weymouth. And,
right.
And I don't know if we really need pure water in the San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Fellows, as you know, I was here with the guys dressed as a chicken showed up the board meeting. So, you know,
oh, I was here too.
Yeah. So the nuance there was pure water is the best available technology in the world. It's just going to take a heck of a lot of power to bring it up here. So the hard part is, and I respect Adele because I've been dealing with him for 30 years, but the nuance there is for the public out there, the higher technology, the easier the sell for the public. Now, the public's been a lot more educated over the last 30 years. And so I would say, yes, there's some validity for satellite plants to get it on the ground, not that high technology, and let, because we are some of the earlier projects, the demonstration project was not advanced treatment. No. We didn't have microfiltration, reverse osmosis, lime, and then move it up north. We had tile 22 water going up north and doing what's called SAT, soil aquifer treatment. And that's just a fancy word of letting the water perk through the dirt and treat it, just like nature does. So you have a point, it's either camp. And that's the hard part, is we've always been stalled by a lesser quality, if you look at that list, and then we went to the higher quality, and then we got stymied because there wasn't water available.
Yeah.
So there is lots of studies along the San Gabriels that run around the San Gabriels looking at satellite plants to do that. It just, what I found career-wise is those satellite plants become very expensive to build and to operate. And if you notice all these projects, you only have to manage a pipeline system. You don't have to manage a treatment plant. Yeah. And that's a whole different aspect, yeah, as Metropolitan knows, and LA County San with their 11 plants.
It's interesting you talk about this, because I gave a talk in Monrovia 2 weeks ago, and the questions I received were, people were concerned about the electricity.
Yes.
The cost.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's offsets and so forth that, I mean, as an example, to move water over the Tehachapis into Southern California takes, what was it, 14% of the energy cost of the state of California. 14% just to move water up and over the Tehachapis. Now we're saying, and the lift from Carson to behind that dam is half. So that's going to, half the cost of that pure water is just that pump station, mm-hmm, just to move. It's not the treatment plant and so forth. So yeah, that's the struggle. And that's always been the struggle with agencies along the San Gabriels, is water flowing downhill and you need it up here. Tom noticed that at Inland Empire Utilities Agency. That's why they have some plants closer to the hills. It's always been a struggle. And so my idea, and I mentioned it, was phasing. No projects say no to. You keep looking at those options and finding out what's best for you. It's partnership, but also what's best for Upper District. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
No, actually, the regs have nothing to do with PFAS on recycled water. It hasn't hit the wastewater world yet. It's only hit. Yes, but you're going to have a divider between that. And the divider is who's going to go sue 3M and everybody else to pay for it.
Of course, they're going to be bankrupt by the time the water agencies are done with them.
Correct.
So, for that raises these concerns as well.
It does, but it has the exact same concerns on the satellite plant as it does on the major plants. If you look at Orange County Water District's, you know, famous groundwater recharge project, that's microfiltration, reverse osmosis, lime, and gets pumped 13 miles to Anaheim. That's not the technology to remove PFAS.
Then what is?
Granular activated carbon or ion exchange.
Correct, but right now, the way that Pure Water is operating, they don't have concerns with PFAS.
Right.
The concern will be is those agencies where the satellite plants are going to be located.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Potentially, and it all depends on the wastewater load and where it's coming from, because we've noticed the difference between the Inland Empire and Orange County. Behind Prado Dam, the agencies that are right behind Prado Dam, because that's where the recycled water sits, are getting hit more with PFAS, but as it trickles down into Orange County, less and less. But they're spending $80 million on six different plants in Orange County just on PFAS. WRD is looking at 11. So PFAS will be a struggle. All these I call them the chemical of the day. You know, you've got, it used to be MTBE and then NDMA, and now we've got PFAS and PFOA. And we'll see what the feds come out with the limit. But it'll be a challenge. But I could see all these plants having to have tack on treatment to deal with certain chemicals as it progresses. And satellites can do that because it's a plug and play. A lot of this equipment is just expensive, and they all have a discharge of some type that has to get somewhere, and somewhere being potentially the ocean.
Okay. I have a question, just a clarification. So I'm hearing a couple of different things maybe you can clarify. I'm hearing we're built out. I'm hearing that there is room for advancement. I'm hearing that we have built Rose Hills, for example, is supposed to be providing us with 80 million gallons a day. It's down to 36 million gallons a day because of conservation. So what do you see as the future of these projects? Where are these projects?
So the Rose Hills project's probably maxed out, because that water is coming via wielding from Central Basin. So you're taking a piece of our allotment. So we have 5,500 acre feet coming out of San Jose Creek, and we're donating a portion of that back to Upper District as our agreement is. But the Rose Hills is somewhat limited because there's no more, unless you're using your allocation from San Jose Creek, you can't expand it. So Rose Hills is different than the Whittier Narrows project. Now, the Whittier Narrows project comes from a different treatment plant, and that one does have capacity available. And we just recently had a meeting with LA County Sand, and they're going to talk to us about how much is available.
Have their flows been affected by the conservation?
That plant's a little bit different. It was built in the 60s, and it's truly a satellite plant because it broke into a line that goes all the way to Carson, mm-hmm. and they built it, depends on who you talk to, for water replenishment district. And so back in the day, I flipped that. Water replenishment district got San Jose Creek water. That plant's all yours. And so they've actually done modifications to that treatment plant, now pushing up to about 13 million gallons a day. So there's still some capacity in that plant because they can take in water regardless of, because that's going down to a 300 million gallon per day treatment plant. So they can still take water in there. So the West Covina project, the Rose Hills project, since it comes from that treatment plant, probably expansion is not possible. From the Whittier Narrows plant, that has some possibilities. In the El Monte, South El Monte area, I don't know how, because originally that plant, I didn't mention at that plant, we were supposed to come all the way to Arcadia. That was the, actually, Stetson actually did the master plan to move that water north and go directly into the golf course and go for the Arboretum. Whether or not you can do that now, capacity-wise, that might be a possibility, but that would be a big, once again, that's energy because you got to pump that all the way. But that's where I would see your direct potable reuse, the irrigation usage, expansion possibilities for Upper District. Other areas, it would be impossible because you can't get the capacity out of San Jose Creek.
And that's probably why we didn't do phase 3 and 4 of the...
Correct.
Yeah.
And you could do, you know, and there are 5 of you as far as agreements. And if you could get some capacity out of another person that has water, basically under paper water, available to give to you, you might be able to do that. So Central Basin's one, Rose Hills is another. They have a they have their own agreement, and they won't use it all because they were going to build 1,800 acres of cemetery. But due to environmental concerns, they're only going to be able to build 13. So they're going to have some capacity left over. Mm. So it's all that negotiation in order to get the water locked in, and then you look at expansion possibilities.
Interesting. All right. Thank you very much, Joe.
No problem. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and so one of the reasons I thought this important that the board hear this today and understand the system is one of the things we're working on, it's one of our strategic plan objectives, is to do an asset management plan for our recycled water system, which I have John working on. And so we've got a $54 million investment. We've got $54 million worth of assets, not today's dollars, but that's what they were cost when they were built. That some of are approaching 20 years old now. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure we understand what we own, what its condition is, and what we need to set aside financially to make sure we're putting the appropriate amount of money into repair, rehabilitation, replacement. In 2018 or 19 at that Whittier Narrows pump station, we did have to replace some of the electrical equipment there, and that was about $100,000, Evelyn, if I recall, all told about $80,000. But we would rather know that a couple of years in advance than the year it comes up and we realize, hey, we all of a sudden have to spend $100,000 to take care of something. So you'll hear more about this, but I think this is a good start to understanding what we own and what our assets are on the recycled water system.
You know, it's interesting is that taking your comment about the recycled water and saving water is that Adele a few weeks ago was talking about he was with all these major corporate entities, these CFOs, and they're all making money. They're all, and he comes in, he was very sheepish. He said, we're losing money. We don't have enough water usage to get the funds we need for the infrastructure right now. And that's why we're thinking of bonds and other things that we just aren't selling water.
Interesting.
Just as a closing comment, fun fact that Rose Hills Cemetery is 2.5 times bigger than Arlington Cemetery in D.C.
Wow. That is very interesting. I have some plots there, so I need to know. All right. Thank you. We will move on. That was a great presentation, great review, especially, I think, for us two new directors that are learning a lot about the history of recycled water and what our projects we have. Moving on to item 8, information items. We have those items in our packet. Item 9, attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Since last meeting, we've been working on the draft agreements for the untreated delivery agreements with MET, as well as attending meetings and take care of everyday stuff. Thank you.
All right. Any questions or comments? Item 10, engineer's report. Steve.
Sure. Thank you, Madam President. Pretty short report on the hydrologic conditions, although we've got some changing conditions, which are kind of interesting because things have been steady for quite a long time,
and they're starting to change a little bit. The key well elevation, most recent elevation, was on the 20th at 227.5. You recall us reporting that percolation rates dropped, and we believe what was happening was there was a mound under the spreading grounds, and it the mound got so high that the pressure to move away from the mound was greater than the ability, the pressure to push the water down and raise the elevation. So we actually saw a decrease in elevation at the key well while we had spreading grounds full of water and we're percolating all the water we've got. And we saw the key well actually decrease. So that was sort of a theory. We had concerns about sedimentation in the spreading grounds because they put so much water in so fast from the county. But it looks like the theory is playing out because the in June of this year, the key well actually peaked at about 233.5. I just pointed out that we're at 227.5 now. But back in June, it peaked at 233.5. And that's when it started dropping a little bit at a time. Then it increased, and then it tapered off. Well, the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's been it stabilized for a couple of weeks, and it's been coming back up. So it's gone from 233.5. It got down to 226.9 as it decreased, and we're now back up to 227.5. So it's come up 0.6 of a foot in about 3 weeks, and it looks like it's doing what we thought it might be doing, and that is stabilizing, and then the key well should start coming back, and that's kind of what we're seeing. So it's kind of interesting. We've been having regular meetings, largely from Tom. The general manager set these up with our replenishment organizations and MWD and such for their imported water. You've heard some discussions about wanting to maybe shut down some of the spreading operations at Santa Fe, allow the spreading grounds to rest, possibly do some maintenance. Obviously, when we do that, I mean, we've got water. Obviously, when we do that, we're not spreading water. But the determination has generally been made. Everybody's come to agreement that it's better off to stop spreading for a while and maintain these spreading grounds, try to bring the percolation capacity back for these spreading grounds, especially in light of, and I quoted, a wet year is being projected, and we don't want to lose that local water. So with the percolation rates we have right now, if we let it go into our wet season, and we do have a wet year, we'll probably lose a lot of that water because we can't spread a lot of water to Santa Fe right now. So the plan right now is we are spreading about 220 CFS. About 200 of that's from USG3. Some of it's from the canyon. It's just going up in the canyon spreading grounds. Only about 60 CFS is going into Santa Fe. The rest is going down the river and behind the dam. The plan is on November 1st to turn USG effectively, turn it down, not necessarily off, but turn it off and then put a smaller plate in it, a plate that will only release water down the river. Stop putting water in Santa Fe. The plan is to release the water out of Santa Fe and lower the water levels down, let it dry out and get in there and do some maintenance, probably 4 to 6 weeks, and then turn things back on and see where we're at. So there's a lot of activity being planned, and the group that's been put together, and it's a group, very good group, and even MWD really, really wants to sell some water right now, and they really, really want to get rid of some water. But even MWD agrees that this is the right thing to do in the long term to put water in our groundwater basin. So everybody's on the same page, but that's the plan. So kind of interesting stuff. We've still got over more than 100,000 acre feet of water in cyclic storage, which is pretty good. Up in the canyon, inflow is now down to about 64, 65 CFS inflow into San Gabriel. With what's going on today and what's projected over the next few days, with the saturation we've got, we'll probably see that pick up again. And as soon as we do see some real rain, we'll probably see that pick up again. So we'll see water coming into our canyon spreading grounds. They're not down to minimum pool, but they're getting close up in the storage areas. Rainfall, we haven't seen a lot of rainfall since our previous reports. So for this year so far, compared to long-term average, at Pudding Stone, we're on about 300% of long-term average, primarily because of Hurricane Hillary coming through, primarily for that water. San Gabriel Dam, we're at about a little over 430% of long-term average. And it's decreasing as we go along because we haven't gotten any rain. But it's still kind of impressive to report. Water quality, testing Title 22 wells for water quality under the Water Master's Administrative Assessment. In September, 21 wells were sampled. In August, 74 wells were sampled. And we did not receive any new reports of wells being shut down due to water quality. I think that's it, unless there's any questions, if you have any questions.
I had a question on the perk rate, percolation rate. So we know that it's been lower than we would like. And do we have a true, not a guess, but do we have a reason for that? And do we have a long-term solution?
Well, the reason for it, we believe, is because we've got saturation under the spreading grounds. It's mounded, and the water just can't get in anymore. You just can't put that much water in. So the idea is, while we shut it down, the saturation will dry out below the spreading grounds, down to the water table. The mound should move away, and we should pick up the perk capacity. In addition to that, when you put so much water into the soil, it tends to clog up, not necessarily with fines or with sediment, but it tends to just get tighter and doesn't allow the water to percolate as well. So drying it out and disking it, they'll get disc in there and they'll disc it up and actually sort of revitalize the soil, should increase the percolates. How long we'll see the increase, we'll just have to wait and see. We've seen other events where this has happened, where we've spread water at Santa Fe and we've seen the percolates drop off like this, but we haven't had periods where we've spread it this long and we've got more water to spread. Mm-hmm. Or that we did a maintenance thing like this and then we're going to put water right back in it. We know that because we've got Met's got water until early next year. So we know as soon as we're done, they're going to be full again. So it's going to be an interesting test. And we are using this information. There is WaterMaster has a state-of-the-art 3D numerical model of the basin. We are using this information to help calibrate that model because it is such an unusual year. So we'll be going forward. We'll have this information in the model as we look forward and hope we'll have an event like this again before the next 10 years.
Adding info to the everything so that we can be better prepared for the next
time. It'll be part of the calibration of that model so that we can actually, we'll make the model, we'll calibrate that model so that it will actually replicate what happened when we run it. And then in the future, if we have conditions like this, it should be able to duplicate it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. General Manager's Report. Tom, welcome
back. I just want to tie on to what Steve's just talking about. One of the questions I've asked is, if we're going to shut down the basin and see if we can get a higher perk rate, why didn't we do that in August or September? The reason is we're still not sure whether this is really going to get us that much more perk. We hope it does, given the conditions and what we think we're seeing. But the county had told us recently that they need to shut down the Santa Fe spreading grounds anyway for maintenance. They were planning to do that in January. So what we thought is, well, if you're going to do it anyway and we have a chance to get, let's do it now sooner than later and take advantage of this opportunity to see if we can make some improvements and get it back. So when they're done with this work, we're actually going to have Metropolitan put on, we'll work with the county, but what I would like to see is put on the orifice plate that we was flowing at 300 cubic feet per second. If we retain per capacity and see if we can get a much higher flow rate into the ground, frankly, we'll only have part of December to get it done in this calendar year, but Metropolitan will have water supply available after January 1st. Whatever the initial state project allocation, they have carryover water, so we can leave USG3 on until it rains so much that there's local water to put into the spreading ground. So that's the plan there. On a longer term view of this, we are looking at improvements to increase the flow or be able to discharge more from USG3. But that now ties into, we need to make sure we have the replenishment or percolation capacity in the river. So we're working with Metropolitan, the county. Stetson's doing the task orders on this to evaluate what can we do to improve and increase the ability to put water into the basin in these very, very wet years. And so that effort is continuing. We'll continue to work with Metropolitan, the county, on that. On a couple other water issues at Met, I think Director Fellow may have planned to make this yesterday at the equity
inclusion
and affordability. They had a very nice presentation on affordability, and I did want to let the directors know that I have started conversations with Valley County Water District to do a kind of a pilot affordability study report for Valley County. The reason I picked Valley County is they do have a large disadvantaged community. They also have pretty good data, demographics, and on their water use. So start with them. We'll look at affordability and then expand it to our entire service area. But what we learned yesterday is that Eastern Municipal Water District has done that very thing for their service area and are now working with Metropolitan. And it was the first I heard of it, is working with Metropolitan to do this affordability study for Met's entire service area. So we'll coordinate with Metropolitan as well. what I plan to do is bring some of this information to our next Water Resources and Facility Management Committee. The other thing that has recently been presented at Metropolitan is some initial concepts on the cost recovery for Pure Water Southern California. How are they going to recover the cost? How are they going to incorporate that into their rate structure? What are some options? Some very interesting options that they have put out there on the table, including a general obligation bond with a property tax revenue component to that, a new property tax revenue component to that. So I'll also bring some information to our Water Resources Facility Management Committee on that. Lastly, on our office, so we did make some progress while I was on vacation on the HVAC. We brought out the mechanical engineer, the architect's mechanical engineer, met with the contractor. Probably good I went on vacation because I think they made more progress than before I went on vacation, but there's still some more work to do. And so on staffing, I wanted to let you know that we've made an offer. That offer has been accepted for our administrative assistant position. We're going through the pre-employment, paperwork on that, nearly completed with that. The offer was made to Jessica, and she accepted. And then we did have an employee. Priscilla was on some extended family medical leave, and she has returned, which makes Evelyn very happy as she's trying to wrap up the audit and needs some support. So we're fully staffed. We're back to full staffing. That's all I have for today.
Any questions for our general manager? Regarding the funding for Pure Water, you mentioned property taxes. Does this have anything to do with our bill positions that we recently took at the Gov Affairs? And are those bills at all involved in this?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to director's comments, we'll start with Director Trevino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a short comment. Tomorrow is our Regional Oversight Committee meeting for Prop W. Mark Pastrella, from the Director of Public Works, LA County Public Works, will be there. I had a conversation with him a couple of days ago, and he's indicated that he would be there. And some of the things we talked about with Mr. Pastrella is the fact that the county is picking up $330 million a year on Prop W money on taxes, to the residents. And I'd like to see us be able to account a little bit better for that money and how it's being spent, especially on working with what I said to him is that we need to, on the Rock, to think big and big projects. And we have been spending too much time on the process. The other thing I said to him is that we need to leverage that money with other entities like Upper District, Metropolitan, and so forth, so that that Prop W money will give us more bang for our buck. So it's going to be an interesting meeting tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it. And that's all, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Director Chavez.
Yes, I would like to adjourn in memory of Cindy Montanez, a former assemblywoman and colleague. She served, we served together. She came in to the assembly during my second term. She was the chair of the Rules Committee. She was the first woman to ever serve on that as chair. She was the first Latina to serve as chair. And at the age of 30, she was the youngest to serve as chair. She was a vibrant, brilliant young lady. We had a lot of good times. The speaker would do a charity each year, and it was called the Speaker's Bash. And we raised money by that year. The theme was American Idol, and if you remember, American Idol started off with Paula Abdul as a judge. Cindy played Paula Abdul during this event, and she judged a group of the Jackson Five. I was one of the Jacksons at the time. And more embarrassing, I have it on tape.
Oh, gotta bring that.
And I'll probably bring that in one of these days. She passed away on Saturday, and she is a brilliant person and will be missed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Director Garcia.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say I love the presentation. I appreciate all the water history and like all the facilities and structures because, you know, having grown up in my area for my whole life, it's just you pass all these things and it's nice to get the background on it just because it puts things in perspective. You know, I have been to all these places in West Covina like 100 million times, especially those schools too in the area. So thank you for that. It was very interesting to hear it. I am very interested in hearing more about this collaboration on affordability with Valley County. So I'm excited to hear about that at Water Resources. And I wanted to wish Director Santana a happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes. It's Patty Cortez's birthday also.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, it is. That's right. And your daughter as well. Yes. Thank you very much, Director Fellow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Tom mentioned, the Equity and Inclusion and Affordability Committee, which I'm on, met yesterday and hosted a panel on water affordability. And the panelists included the General Manager of Eastern Municipal Water District, the Executive Director of the California Water Association, the California Director of the Clean Water Action, Clean Water Fund, and the Chief Customer Officer of the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And they began with a quote from Mulholland, which I have never heard, but it says, "Why should a man get water, the essential element of life, more cheaply than the cost to him of polishing his shoes or paying for his telephone?" And in other words, that water rates are very cheap compared, since it is this element of life. And they talked about the future of water rates. The goal yesterday was to increase understanding of the various dimensions of household water affordability, to explore challenges in implementing low-income rate assistance programs, and third, to discuss water affordability criteria to inform a decision-making framework. They also began with looking at California's human right to water policy, which was AB 685. I think that was in 2012. Which says every human being has the right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible water adequate for human consumption, cooking, and sanitary purposes. Three questions were proposed, and the panelists talked about these. One was, how can Metropolitan address household affordability? Two, what should Metropolitan's role be in advancing household water affordability in our service area? And three, how could household water affordability programs address California's human right to water policy and promote environmental justice? Some of the solutions discussed, but there was nothing concrete, was to expand water assistance legislation, strengthen and expand the State Water Project, conveyance and storage, structure rates that are equitable, especially with those people who are renters, and that we should look at the ad valorem rates. Could they be tripled, perhaps? Could there be a bond measure? And they also discussed a lengthy discussion on what the impacts of consolidation of water districts. What was interesting yesterday, and Tom touched upon this a little, is that it was pointed out by the panel that 53% of San Gabriel Valley Water Company customers are low-income customers, which is among the highest in the state, supposedly. And thus, we as a board at Upper District, we did look at these problems, and I was going to turn it to Tom now, but he already gave his report. But I'm glad you're looking into that. But it's a big problem, and it really is even too big for Met. It's something that I wish all the state legislators were at Met yesterday, because it's really a state issue, I think.
It certainly is. And so for a wholesale agency like Metropolitan, they don't deal directly with the customers. They're not the front line. So a lot of the discussion was, this is really what can Met do and what should they do as a wholesaler? And given that they're not a retailer, it does limit what they can do with that direct association with the customer. What they can do is make sure the water they supply is at a you know, lowest cost as possible. So this will be an ongoing discussion they'll have. But I did want, you know, the producers in the room to know, one of the things that was acknowledged is Met's a wholesaler. They are not a retailer, and dealing with customers is really a retail agency issue. There are over 300 individual retailers within Met's service area, and they showed a map, and it was interesting. If you really look closely at the map, you look at Inland Empire Utilities Agency, they have 7 retailers. San Diego, they're bigger, but not that many. Eastern, Western, handful of retailers. We have, what's our number? 23? 23. Central Basin, more than that. West Basin. And so the area of Southern California that developed first and started to evolve has a lot of different water retailers. So we have city water departments. We have county water districts. We have quite a few investor-owned utility retailers, mutual water companies. And so we got a variety, and there's a lot of them in our service area. So it makes it a little more complex in the central part of Los Angeles County with the number of retailers and the different types of retailers we deal with. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into it in that much detail, but Tony got me started.
And then the last thing is that I think you know this. You're leading a tour, bike tour, on November 4th?
Oh, yeah, November 4th. So Active SGV, this will be the third time I've done it. The second time I've actually done it from a bike is, and this is Metropolitan Water District, RUPOM. She is the director of outreach for Pure Water Southern California. So we've been doing this, and what we do is we ride up the San Gabriel River with and Ed, you're going to do it, I hear. Tony did it last time.
I'm going to be there. I thought I was in better shape than him, but he did very well.
Well, I had a cat get me an electric bike. So
I didn't have one.
You didn't have one. And then what we do is we stop along the river and we talk about things. And we stopped at the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. We said, okay, this is where that water is going to go, and at Santa Fe Dam. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully it doesn't rain this time.
Really want to join you one of these years. Not this year.
Okay. Not this year.
Not this time.
No. We'll get one with a little sidecar. You can sit in the sidecar.
No. On the electric bike. All right. I just want to – I think this meeting was really, really good. I mean, it's such a change in conversation than we were having for years about the drought and about how we've reached the critical level with the basin, and just hearing about – moving forward with pure water, hearing about where we're going to put all this water, working on percolation rates, making sure we're getting as much, just the abundance of water, recycled water projects. It's really refreshing and it's really exciting to hear that there are solutions and that we hopefully will never be in the position that we were back in 2019 or whenever this was, where the basin went very low and we were all very concerned. I would have been more concerned if I were more well-versed on everything going on in the basin at that time. So it's really nice to hear all of these things going on at this meeting. Those are my comments. Thank you. And then we will move to future agenda items. Is there anything? No. Adjournment to closed session. Nothing. All right. In that case, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.